Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Today is August 5th, 2005. I'd like to welcome our host, Sister Yaya Feeney, and say thank you and peace and blessings to you. Family, we have a powerful show today, very powerful, and I'm not saying that because I like the show. I like what we're doing, but I do like what we're doing. I really, really like, you know, the concept and everything. It's spirituality versus intimacy. And we, if you look at our website, we have a host of questions, and I will read those questions to you. But before we get started, I'd like to ask our host, Sister Yaya Feeney, to possibly do a meditation and to get us mentally and spiritually prepared for this session. Sister Yaya Feeney, welcome. And
Yes, thank you so much for producing the show and bringing us to this place again on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I know we are excited, and many of us have been watching the Olympics and getting all involved with all types of things. So I'm grateful that you chose this time to just center yourself and be connected to some of the things that we will share today. I am sharing, I am growing with the information that I bring and that you will share with me. So it's all in a place of knowing and connecting to the divine. So at this time, I would just like to thank you, Ruby, for your commitment and your dedication, and because you are indeed a blessing for me and for the people in your lives. So I just want you all to just take a deep breath and let it go nice and easy. Let all of the tension of the day out. Again, take another deep cleansing breath and just claiming this space where you are as sacred, releasing it slowly. Again, breathing out one last time. On the third, just bringing in all the good connections of spirit. And letting go, letting out. I want you to just sit in the now. Remove all thoughts, all ideas, all concepts from your consciousness. This is a place where you are safe and nothing to distract you. And this is a place you can choose at least 2 times a day. To just come to center and give yourself some very deep breaths. Today I would like to use the color purple, that opens the awareness to connecting you to all that is one with the Creator, and just see a purple glow hovering over you and just engulfing you as a mist, allowing that color to be like a cloth, a soft cloth that is just waving in the breeze and just waving around you, through you, connecting you to the divine in you, connecting you to the divine all around you, and just breathe. I would love for you to just, when you're ready, allow that purple cloth mist to just release itself back into the universe, like a cloth just going into the breeze, like a sheer cloth that's going into the wind, into air, and connecting back to the divine. And when you're ready, and not before you're ready, you can come back to this place and know that this place, this moment is a blessing, and you can open your eyes, and let's proceed with a beautiful, beautiful learning experience today. Mother, Father, God, we give thanks for this opportunity to connect to spirit, to connect to the one, to connect to each other. Ashe, 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 so let it be.
Wow, that was very, very powerful. And Sister Yeye Feni, I would like to say thank you very much for that. That touched me, and I'm sure it touched a lot of people, but it definitely touched me and family. I would like to say welcome to Speaking to Harmony, and please excuse my voice. I'm a little hoarse here. Our call-in number is 310-742-1887. You can call in, you can listen, or you can ask questions or make comments. If you would like to do that, dial that call-in number and press the number 1. That way I will know that you would like to speak with Sister Yeye Feni, or you would like to leave a comment or make a comment or ask a question. So first of all, before we get started today, I would like to tell you a little bit about this powerful woman here. She has a lot of knowledge. As you well know from listening to the program and listening to the previous program, Meaningful Mondays that we had, we transitioned over so that we could give you, and actually I say we because I feel like I'm a part of Sister Yeye Feni, but so that she could expand what it is she wanted to speak on and expand on what it was our listening audience would like to hear. And people have given several suggestions, and that's the reason why we've changed it to Ask Yeye Feni. Yeye Feni has a website, www.yeyefeni.com. That's www.yeyefeni.com. There's several, she does several things, and it's all her. I don't know any other way to put it, but it's all her. It's who she is. It's what she does. It's what makes her so powerful. There's an organization that she founded, and she runs, and it's IIASK, and those acronyms stand for International Institute of African Studies and Knowledge. It's a study group. It's a not-for-profit institute that offers ongoing classes to people who are interested or in search of African spiritual systems. They have many, many study groups. To find out more about this, you can go to IIASK2005@yahoo.com, or you can go to her website. And also, IIASK has a page on Facebook, so you can also go there and hear and find out more. She has lectures that are available on CD. And just to give you a few titles of what they are, I'm not going to read all of the titles to you, but I will give you just a little taste, okay? And Bridging a Gap Between Christianity and Indigenous African Belief. And I'll just tell you a little bit about some of these titles. And it's Christians and Practitioners of African Spirituality Agree That There Is Only One God. Both believe that spirituality is a way of life, not just something we do on the Sabbath. That's one. The next one is the 52-day life cycle. And this workshop will cover the importance of life cycles and how these rhythmic impulses empower us to balance the ups and the downs of our daily lives and much more. So there's also the 12 tests of life, I apologize, journaling on a tool for spiritual growth, and so on and so forth. Please go to the website and check out these CDs that are available now. So now let's move on to our topic for today. Spirituality versus intimacy. This is a great topic, and there are several questions that we have posted, and maybe you can answer those questions to yourself, but right now we're going to ask Yaya Feeney to give us her insight on this. Mr. Yaya Feeney?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sister Ruby, my friend. As you say, you feel like you're part of the family. You are part of the family. Well, today, the questions that we have is, does your spirituality affect, and I don't know if you meant affect or effect, but I left it as that, the producer, affect your intimate judgment? How does your spirituality affect your intimate judgment? Have you compromised your spiritual side for intimate pleasure? What are some of the excuses you have made when engaging in intimacy with people who are not as spiritual as you? Do you believe that pleasure, self-pleasure, is against your spiritual belief? Are intimate films against your spiritual belief? And so those are the questions that I thought were triggered me to say yes when you suggested them for me to speak on that topic, because it's something that, you know, intimacy and spirituality, there are different levels of intimacy and there are different levels of spirituality. So those are the kinds of things that I wanted to address today. And so to begin, I would want to start by just saying, sharing a little bit as to what does this topic mean to me. I have asked two people who have, to me, been a success story or an image of a success, and I know for sure have had a very successful intimate marriage relationship. I've also asked someone who has an intimate friendship relationship to join us today, and I hope they'll call in and hope they'll be on to kind of give us some more insight, some more gravy to add to the program. So over the years, the path of discovering who and what I am has led me to the realization and acknowledgement that my life is a journey of developing the divine in me and everything around me. I've really come to understand that. As a child, you know, I welcomed all experiences with a sense of wonder, curiosity, and optimism, in spite of the twists and turns and experiences, good and bad, and choices that I've made and that I've chosen to be a part of. And, you know, when I look at myself, I have kept that same openness to the adventure called life. That's how I look at life, is that it's an adventure, that realizing that all of my life has been a journey and all of our lives has been a journey. And everything around us connects us, you know. When the producer asked me to do this show and asked my opinion on the topic, I said yes right away, because it's a topic that I felt was one that I could share, enjoy, learn from, and grow from it. So spirituality to me, and, you know, I like to break down the words. That's usually the way that I start out the show. So in spirituality to me has been kind of like the place in my life that has given me a sense of peace, joy, and hope when I have been distracted from the true, from my true self. And the true self that I'm talking about is when I can become still in the midst of chaos, disappointment, fear, insecurity, you know, this self that always knows that the divine is ever present. And I think that when we think of spirituality, we always think in terms of a place where it makes us know that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
That we're connected to something greater, to something bigger, and the things that we call miracles are actually us choosing to be aware that we can make a decision to wrap our heads, our minds, our spirits, our bodies around a thought, a concept, and create something from nothing. And so to the question, how does your spirituality affect your intimate judgment? Intimacy to me is like a sacred space that is ours for the asking when we awaken the need for balancing the mind, the body, and the spirit. Because intimacy is when you allow someone else to be a part of your sacred space. Because intimacy means that you will be supported. It's a space that is yours, that is ours to be for the asking. You can ask for intimacy by just being still, by just being quiet, and you're intimate with yourself. You have a connection. And as I was speaking when I was there for this class, I spoke to my son-in-law, and he gave me some very powerful insights, and I was like, whoa, I learned something today. And the meaning of the word intimacy is into me I see. And that was like, whoa. That opened my spirit to understanding the whole concept that I feel as what intimacy is. So if intimacy is into me I see, it's allowing someone else to touch your soul. Because the spirituality is the part of you that grounds you and gives you peace, hope, when you're feeling disconnected from another self, then you have to find that intimacy with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when you are in that place of trying to find intimate moments, we have to connect without a doubt to the mind, the spirit, and the body. And so if you can connect on an intimate level with your mind, you must have a clear intention as to what you desire in a relationship, be it an intimate relationship with a friend, an intimate relationship with romance, or intimate relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so you must have a clear intention in your mind as to what you desire in a relationship so it will manifest and support your divine purpose in life when you speak it to the universe. So when your mind sees that you are, when you acknowledge that you want something from life, once you acknowledge that, then you say, okay, I have to now make it manifest. And you have to go through the process of it manifesting. And in that process of manifesting, then your mind is in control of everything that you're going to think, do, act, and receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that aspect of asking for the divine, asking the mind, you have to acknowledge, then you have to claim it. You know, the first it has to become something. It has to come before, beyond what it is that you're thinking. Then you have to claim it. You know, you have to declare that it's yours. And then, of course, you got to give thanks for it coming, and then you have to release it so that it will be your reality. And so when you have a clear intention as to what you desire in a relationship, you have to be very, very clear what you want. You can't go back and forth, and say, well, I would like this, no, I would like that. You have to be very honest and confident in yourself that this is the thing that you want to manifest from the divine. And, again, I'm speaking from intimacy in all levels. Because the things that you are thinking about, you want them to be supporting you in the divine place. Correct?
Yeah.
And so to me, And, you know, I'm open for any other suggestions or comments of that, on that level, in that if you are spirit, and if your spirituality is the place where you get connected, then your mind has to be very clear as to where is it, what it is that you want to see. What is it that you want to see in your life? What is it that you want to manifest in your life? The first place that you have to go is your mind. Then it's your body. And when we treat our bodies as an integral part of the divine's plan for us to receive all that we ask for, then our spirit will have a healthy place to live in. Because if the body is the carrier of the spirit, then we can know that if we are connected to our body, we are connected, having our minds clear with the intention and having our body, recognizing that our bodies is a sacred place, then we can receive all that we ask for from our spirit. If we have a healthy place where our spirit lives, which is in our body, we can increase our chances of success when we eat healthy foods, when we do not abuse and ingest food that will create cravings, addictions, and toxic challenges. Then you have a healthy spiritual conscious life, and be joyful because in any intimate relationship. Because if your body is balanced and is well and is supported by your mind, then your spirit has a good home. You're the host of your spirit. And so if your spirit is the place where the body lives, then it's very important for the body and the mind to connect to the spirit. And so lastly, the gift of the divine that reminds us that it's present through our breath is the key to success in any relationship. In every relationship that we have, be it an intimate relationship with a friend, intimate relationship with a romantic intimate relationship, or a relationship with yourself, it's through the presence of spirit that is the key to success. When we acknowledge that we are not alone and that we are co-creating this life that we have for ourselves, then we can, you know, support a healthy, loving, intimate relationship as well as a romantic relationship. And so in intimacy, we find that the first question was, does your spirituality affect your intimacy? It does, in my opinion. It has to. Because if you are, I'm trying to get off of this computer. If you are in a spiritual state, then every relationship that you're in is intimate. Because you're connecting soul to soul, spirit to spirit. And if you're connecting spirit to spirit, then you recognize that, oh, I am the creator of my reality. What I think will manifest in the universe. And so to me, intimacy is when you are intimate, you're allowing someone else into your divine space to allow you to really see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we see ourselves, we have to be non-judgmental. We have to grow. It gives us the ability to grow. We have to accept unconditionally the differences you find in other people. We have to grow in our own awareness and acceptance of who we are or who we think we are. And, of course, we have to honor the intimate relationship as an assignment from the universe to be open, vulnerable, compassionate, and honest with ourselves, because in any relationship, the bottom line is about you. It's not about the other person. It's not about the other person. So when you are in a relationship, be it platonic, friendship, in intimacy, your spirituality has to affect it, because that is where everything starts, is in your perception. If the perception of peace and grounding and hope and support comes from a place where you have a clear intention as to what you want, then the other stuff that comes and distracts you, that's not your reality, so you won't fall prey to it. So relationships that give you combative relationships or drama, and that they're not yours, so you don't even have to claim it. So that's my opening statement. And at this time, before I go any further, I would want, you know, anyone that is listening to give me your insight on it in terms of the first two questions, which is, how does your spirituality affect your intimate judgment? So in my opinion, they go hand in hand. You have to have spirituality to have any kind of connection with any relationship. The way that you choose it, then, is up to you, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, and mind, body, and spirit. So, Ruby, that's the direction in which we're going. Does that make sense to those listeners? Please call in and give me your opinion, your disagreement, your agreement, so where all of us can learn.
Okay. Family, I want to thank all the people in the chat room. Good to see you. And please don't forget, you can type your questions in the chat room, and I will ask Yaya Feeney the questions, and she will give you an answer. And for people who want to call in, the number is 310-742-1887. And you have to press the number 1 so I can see that you're not just listening, you have a question. And Sister Yaya Feeney, we have a caller on the line who has a question for you. Caller, I'm going to pull up your mic. Caller 336 with the 4 digits of 2164. I'm pulling your mic up now. You're on the air with Sister Yaya Feeney.
Alafia Elode. This is Asheri Shimon Iya Ademuiwa. I'm enjoying your show immensely. And it's something that you said. I don't have a question so much as I'm writing down what you're saying, formulating questions. But one thing you said about the intimacy, about into me I see, was, I want to say more of a statement, was very profound to me, because it made me think about how does intimacy, into me I see, relate to the body. And in my instance, I recognize that, for one, like if, let's say I'm, you know, battling a cold or something like that, the just instinctually, I may want particular fruits or particular vegetables, which actually will help accelerate my healing and my wellness. So that's something that I never thought about in correlation to the intimacy and the connection with your body knowing exactly what it needs. I know that it knows what it needs, but not at that intimate level. So thank you for that, because that's a learning lesson for me. I'm still speculating on the intimacy, the relationship between the spirituality and intimacy when it comes to a relationship. I'm kind of understanding the point where a person that you're dealing with, they are getting a chance to see you, and you in turn are getting a chance to see them. I think you asked the question about how does spirituality and intimacy work with a relationship, or how you, is it more so you're asking how do you choose a relationship based on the spirituality and intimacy? That part I'm trying to understand.
Yes, it depends on what kind of relationship are you speaking about. This is a romantic relationship or a friendship?
I'm thinking more so of a romantic relationship.
Right. Thank you so much. You're one of the people that I've asked to come in terms of when we got down to speaking in terms of the emotional romantic relationship, because you and your mate have proven to see, have been intimately and have been able to see each other. And you have been able to see into you. And he has been able to see into to to himself through you. And so in it, the key here in intimacy, first we're just putting it on a spirit-to-spirit connection, and then we take it to a level where ultimately you find that you want to partner on a romantic level. Then it comes into being a very, it's an assignment. It's an assignment from the Creator to really allow you to be very, very trustful. That's the major step in any romantic relationship, is that you trust something bigger than you, and you trust that bigness through that person that is reflecting back to you. Does that make sense?
It does, especially when you say trust something that's bigger than yourself. That speaks very much to me.
How do you support your intimate relationship romantically with your husband all these years? What is the thing that ties you together? Does your spirituality affect your intimate judgment or your intimate relationship?
It does, I would say, very much so. I think my case may be, depending on who you're talking to, may be the norm for some people and abnormal to others. And the norm in our realm would be, you know, dealing with the ancestors, because the ancestors have always walked with me ever since I can remember, before I could talk, but I have vivid memories. And for myself, I've always trusted spirit. So when I met my to-be husband many years ago, they actually said, when he walked up to me, they said, "That is going to be your husband." And I was very much like, yeah, okay. You know, because I had different plans. But he actually is the person that I married. And we both are very much, very much into ancestral upliftment, veneration, and all. So it, for us, for our marriage, we've been married now, let's see, we've been together for 28 years and married for 25. And it has been his people, my people, on a spiritual level that have helped us, you know, not jump off the roof when things got crazy, to listen, to look at ourselves. So we both have very strong listening skills when it comes to spirit. And then also, so we've also had people in our community that have been a support system as well. But first and foremost, it was just listening. So I think mine is a little, I don't know how different that is for others. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have had those kind of experiences where spirit has been spoke to them very strongly. But for us, our relationship is bigger than ourselves. Because without our partnership, we can't do the things that we need to do. Because what we do is not just for us, but it's for community, for our children, for those that are not yet born, et cetera. So that's how it works for me.
So your spirituality is the driving force in your intimate relationship, in that you're saying that the things that you do are about trusting the community, trusting yourself, trusting the work or your connection to source. Are always making sure that you are doing the things that are aligning you to the Creator, that are aligning you to the divine that is in you.
That
I think is just for today, 25 years, because we run the risk these days of listening to the, if we listen to the ratios of what, if we want to listen to the ratio of how many marriages are failing, yours is 25 years today. That's a milestone. So I congratulate your spirit for acknowledging the connection to intimacy and giving it its worth and its value, and openness for you and your mate. So thank you so much for sharing. That was amazing that today, you know, and you said that the foundation of your relationship is spirit.
Yes, it is.
And how do you go about reconnecting when you are, you forget and you drift off? What is your tool of connection in your practice?
It goes back again to my relationship with my ancestors and his relationship with his, because we are always constantly bringing situations, questions, even when something goes well and we want to share that, we share that not only with each other, but in our intimate space with our own ancestors. You know, we do that. We bring those things. So I don't go off the deep end. You know, you may get to the edge, but I don't jump because of them, because the fact that when I'm sitting there in front of my shrine and I'm saying this is what's going on or this is what I'm feeling or et cetera, and through meditation and or through an OB, you know, they pour through dreams as well, because they very much talk to both of us in our dreams. They let us know what's going on, how to handle things better. So, I mean, everybody steps off course sometime, you know, whatever that may be for the person. It could be extreme, it could be minor, it could be just the way you're feeling or thinking. But I think having that umbilical cord to the spirit, which is so attached for myself and for him, that's just what brings us back on course. I don't know any other way. It's helpful for us. But other people, you know, may use something different. But we're very, very attached to spirit and listening. But
well,
I had to learn that too, to listen, you know. I listened. But then sometimes you just want to not listen and just, you know, do whatever it is you want to do. And so we call those spiritual behind whipping that we all tend to get. And through that, we learn to listen even better.
Wow, that is amazing. So to me, what I'm hearing is that you look at the intimate relationship that you in this particular case have with your husband, is you look at it with gratitude. Because you're saying the ancestors, you all have a connection. You know, you have it from a place of gratitude.
Mhm. Oh yes, definitely. If I had not listened, and you know, done the things that I wanted to do, what I had thought, you know, I had my own plans at that age, you know, of where I wanted to go, where I wanted to live, what I wanted to do. My life would have been different, but. It would not have been what I have now. And what I have now, I am extremely grateful for. Extremely.
Yeah, because when you're grateful in a relationship, you know, you can get a sense, you can give a sense of worth. You can get a sense of worth. It makes you feel valued, you know, nurtured, supported, appreciated. You know, and overall a feeling of wholeness. That's what makes it a successful relationship, is that you can connect intimately by looking at it as a gift. And in all relationships, you know, the intimate part of it is that you hold it to be in a sacred space, as I said earlier. Every relationship is intimate, depending on the degree that you want to take it to. You know, and when you look at a relationship as sacred, it dissolves, you know, the lesson, the self-judgment that you have, the self-criticism, the adherence to your hand-me-down beliefs, your fear, your shame, pessimism, frustration, you know, all of the negatives come in there when you don't look at it with gratitude. Because when you look at a relationship, an intimate relationship with one of gratitude, then you know that it's connected to spirit, and then you have to connect it to what is my spirit? How is this making me a better me? How is this connecting me? How is this connecting me to the source, to God, to the divine? How is this relationship feeding me? So, thank you so much for, you know, answering the question, does your spirituality affect your intimate judgment? So I hope there are other people that will share that in, with us as well. I'm just letting Spirit guide us as to how the direction of the show is going, and I think that it's one that, that's why I looked at it and said, yes, definitely I would love to talk about this, because most of the time we're thinking that we should talk about it just sexual intimacy, but intimacy is on all levels. And the most intimate relationship you can have is with yourself and then with God and then anyone else that comes into it. Then, gives you an opportunity to grow, to develop and grow your awareness and accept yourself for who you are.
Yeah.
And to accept unconditionally, the differences you find in the other people. You know, and when you honor it as, and when you give it honor and you look at it as a gift, you know, then the universe will open to you because you'll be able to be compassionate, you'll be honest with yourself, and anyone that comes to you and brings up things in your life that you are in denial of or you don't recognize, that you can understand that, okay, this person that's looking at me sees into me, and so I must listen with a different set of ears. I must look at it from their perspective so that I can appreciate who I am and make a decision whether or not you want that relationship to be as intimate as it is.
That's true. That is true. I wanted to, there was a question in the chat room, but the caller has since gotten off of the line, but I still wanted to ask the question for the person because, remember, family, all of these shows are archived. You can always go back if you feel that you've missed any information or anything that Deyafini has said. You can always go back and listen. We have a very high rating when it comes to people listening to the archive because of different schedules and things like that. And some people have said that they just like to listen to what she has said several times so they could actually grasp, you know, what she has said and make notes because you're not always able to keep up. So you can able, she, it enables you to make notes and reflect on it. When you write things down, you can always go back and reflect on it, or when you hear it several times, you can put it back in your mind no matter where you are or what you're doing. You can sit back and reflect on those things. But there was a question in the chat room, and I tried to get a little clarity on it, Mr. Deyafini, but I wasn't able to. She had left. The question says, I have found that my spirituality affects my sexuality in that it increases. Are they directly linked?
Say the question again.
It says, I found that my spirituality affects my sexuality in that it increases. Are they directly linked?
Well, your sexuality is one aspect, one expression of intimacy. And so if you're spiritually balanced or in harmony with your intimate partner, if you and that intimate partner are, are finding this relationship to be a gift or in a place of honoring it, then your sexuality will be aroused, will be raised because that is a very deep level of commitment, of intimacy, because when you are in a romantic relationship and you are having sex, you are in a place of exchanging energy that will stay with the other person and that will stay with you. You're exchanging body fluids. You're exchanging spiritual awareness, spiritual connection that does not end when the act end. And so if you are in a place of balance in your intimate relationship, then it will at times allow you to have a more satisfying sexual relationship, or it will awaken your sexual connection to your mate. I hope that answers the question. Does that answer the question? Oh, you said the lady's not on.
Yeah, she left, so I hope that she will come back later and at least listen and let us know. But someone else wrote in the chat room and said, outstanding. So I want to thank you for that. Thank you for coming into the chat room and talking to us. I wanted to say something about that as well. I have a girlfriend who her fiance passed away, so she hadn't been intimate with anyone in a very long time. And she met someone, and she was intimate with him. And
oh, you mean sexually intimate?
Sexually intimate. She felt guilty afterwards. So the next day she called him, and she apologized. And he was very, very angry that she apologized, and he could not understand why she apologized. She told him that she had already apologized to God, but she felt it in her heart and in her spirit that she needed to call him and to apologize as well. And he could not understand that. He could not understand where she was coming from and why she would call him to say something like that to him.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess she perhaps was apologizing that she saw into herself,
mm-hmm.
and the reason, and the judgment, and perhaps the reason that she agreed to have the relationship, the sexual relationship with the man in the moment. She perhaps didn't see herself. And
right.
So later on she might have saw herself, and she was really apologizing to herself. And the fact that she needed to say it to him, she saw his spirit perhaps, and knowing that she was doing it for nothing that at that moment seemed like it was a connection to God, she wanted to apologize to the God in him.
Okay.
She wanted to apologize to the God in him to know that, hey, what I did not do from a divine place. And so for that, I am seeking your forgiveness or unconditional love in a space where when you acknowledge or when you recognize that I just used you for a moment. But then she's judging herself. And because when you're judging yourself, then you get in that place where you feel guilty, you feel shame, you feel all of that because you'll be able to deviate from your spirit. But it's a place of, you know, coming back to a place of wholeness. It's in that moment when she made the decision that, wow, this was not cool. She did the right thing for herself so that she'll be able to look at herself in the mirror and say, you know what, that was wrong, and I won't do that again.
Yes.
You understand? And not do it because of what he may think, but what she thinks of herself.
Mm-hmm.
But she feels that the God in her would be saying. What does she think the God in her would be saying? And there's no judgment on it. It's a moment that perhaps her spirit needed that to recognize, you know what, I'm not ready for a physically intimate relationship. Or it could be a place to recognize and acknowledge that, you know, why am I beating up on myself? Why am I holding myself so accountable? So
yeah.
She was apologizing, I think, to and some of the dogma, perhaps.
I'm not sure.
Yes. So that was one of the reasons that you had asked for this particular topic, I assume.
Yes. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
That was one of my reasons. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I too struggle with that, that spirituality versus intimacy, whether it's a sexual intimacy or relationship intimacy. I know you're quote unquote supposed to find someone who is equally yoked, and I guess that's what I'm in search for, and that's
okay.
What I would like, you know.
Yeah, well, you have to be just clear in your intention. As I said at the opening, in your mind, if you're clear as to what you want, if you want a relationship that is going to be allowing you to receive, you know, the things that you need to feel good, when you are in a relationship that gives you that sense of grace and balance and trust and wholeness, then you have to then have a clear intention when you speak to the universe. Because if you just say, I want a relationship, or someone, not you perhaps, but if someone just says, oh, I want a relationship, I'm tired of being lonely, well, then you can get anything. But when you speak to the divine in the present tense and says, I am in the perfect relationship with God, and my divine mate is walking to me as I am walking to him, and we deserve each other, and then you just know that every day as you take a step, you're taking a step deeper into intimacy, into you seeing yourself. And the thing of it is sometimes when we don't know that the body, or don't acknowledge that the body is connected to the spirit, then you feel that, okay, I just got to do this because I'm horny, versus I'm doing this because I'm running out of patience with God, you know? So there's a difference. Yeah, if you're saying, well, I just need to do this because my hormones are flaring, or I just need to release this, so I need to find another person to do it, then you're not connecting yourself into knowing and really aware of who you are. So if you want that, then be clear in your intention. Be very clear as to what you're saying to your mind, and not sabotage it. And say, well, he needs to be tall, he needs to be rich, he needs to be, and you're giving the spirit or the universe all of this shopping list. And so you're getting further and further away, because it's a miracle and a connection to spirit that gives you what it is that you deserve. It's always there. It's there for the asking. But if you're coming from a place that, yes, I am ready to receive the divine, spiritual, grounded, loving, nurturing, romantic relationship that I recognize as divine, it will come. It will come. And during the time that you're coming to it, then you're acknowledging that each step you're taking is leading you closer. But I think sometimes we get tired of waiting and just running and say, okay, God, I can't wait for that. Let me go out and do this real quick. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. I have a couple of comments, and I guess this is about the comment that, the statement that I made about my girlfriend. The one person asked, their question is the person on the same level? Does the person have the same practices and the same beliefs? My answer to that is I don't know. But I have a message for you, Yaya Feeney. It says, sending my greetings from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, to Queen Mother Yaya Feeney.
Can you read it again? It's muffled, what you were saying?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It says, sending my greetings from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And it says, listening attentively at this program, serious topic being discussed on the air.
Oh, thank you very much. That's one of my nice little homes, it's St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Shout out to all my friends over there and my family. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, family, at this time, I would like to say again, thank you very much for listening to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. We are on the first Sunday of every month. And the call-in number is 310-742-1887. You have to press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment for Sister Yaya Feeney. At this time, I would like to tell you a little bit about the services that Sister Yaya Feeney provides. She has the cultural consultant. She's a cultural consultant, a life coach, as well as an African ministerial. She performs African ministerial services. I would like to take you to her webpage, which is www.yayayfeeny.com. And there you will find a list of, you know, you can shop at her store. You can also see something that's amazing, the upcoming events, all of her upcoming events. And like I said, the any services that she has. And I wanted to go over a couple of those because we're just about at the halfway mark of our time here. It has gone by so fast, so very fast. And Life Coach, let me give you a little information about that. And I'm taking this from the website. So as you can see, her website is very detailed in that it's easy to maneuver through. It gives you all the information that you're looking for. And if you can't find any information on her website that you're interested in, she's open to emails. If you email her, she will email you back with her answer to your question or, you know, questions that she needs to answer your question. Her website is yayayfeeny@bellsouth.net. That's yayayfeeny@bellsouth.net. Now, her life coaching. Yaya Feeny helps individuals reach holistic wellness, emotional, mental, physical, and financially. Through her life coaching, that's what she does. You will gain several things from that. You can improve your personal connections through relationship consultations. Gain professional success by finding your best career path. That's something that we all need. We all think that, for me, I'm a legal secretary. I thought that was the way to go until I was pushed out the door. Then working with other people, mentoring and, you know, young ladies and women became something that is just powerful that I love doing. So she will coach you on that. That's just life-changing things that she does when she coaches you on life. Raising happy and balanced children, regardless of their personal challenges. With the way society is today, family, we really, really, really need to have healthy, happy, well-balanced children. They're our future. If we don't catch them now, what's going to happen to us? We are going to have someone take care of us when we get old. So we have to guide our children now and get them prepared and ready for life. She tells you about ways to repair, cleanse, and detoxify your body as well as your mind. You could have a great body, but mentally, if your mind is not sound, you're lost. There's no place to go. You have to have a sound mind. This is something that she does. Because of her knowledge, you can listen to her today. You can go back to the archive and listen to her, and you'll see how knowledgeable she is. And she talks about how to use spiritual laws to create real-world abundance. That's what I'm working on with her. Actually, I'm working on a whole lot of things with her, but that's just one of the things that I'm working on with her. And ways to recondition your body, mind, and spirit for automatic abundance. So right now, Yaya Feeny, I would like you to talk about some of the things that you would like the family to know about you, because there is so much that you already know and you already have within you that you would like to share. And then we will continue with this. We will continue with the topic. Yaya Feeny, if you could talk a little bit about that.
Okay, well, one of the things that I have available this month, and then I will jump into me, so I don't forget it. Is that we have the back to school special for children. Annually, I do readings for children who are going back to school, so that the parents can have an idea as to some of the challenges that the children may face, and as well as the families, so that they will know exactly how to harness and how to make a happier, better, well-grounded school year. Because sometimes a child may require the family members to be focused on some things that the year before perhaps they didn't have to focus on. It could be anything from sleep pattern, food. It could be atmosphere of the school. It could be the teacher-children relationship. It could be anything. And so to get a consultation for your child going back to school, you're kind of like packing up your spiritual lunch bag, your lunch bag, so that when they're in school, the parents know already what are the things to look out for. If they have challenges early on, how to intercede, how to interact, also how to shift energy sometimes in healing them spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, because each school year is a new challenge for them, is a new experience. And if the parents are aware of what some of the challenges will be, they can better harness their responsibility, and they can give the children what it is that they're going to need. And they don't just come up because of the teacher-parent class. I mean, teacher-parent meeting, you find out that your child is way behind, and the teacher may have one idea, one opinion, that it may not have anything to do with the child's grounding or spirituality. And so in knowing exactly how to connect the child or realign the child to their God self, how to encourage them, how to allow them to speak up, how to shift the energy around them, how to spiritually balance them through, be it spiritual baths, be it Reiki, be it laying of hands, be it praying for them every morning, be it shifting the level of responsibility in the home, all of that is addressed in the reading. So I just wanted to say that it's back to school special, and for the children, we just charge $25 for the readings, and they can go. You can feel free to email me at yeyafini@bellsouth.net, and that's where we can talk in terms of how we will proceed with doing these consultations. But it's very, very important in terms of the different cycles that the children will be going through, emotionally, as well as some of the pressures that we have outside, how to make sure that your child is spiritually harnessed to avoid any tragedy, any disharmony, any imbalance that could give you a school year that is traumatic versus a school year that is fun. So I just wanted to talk about that for a minute. Now, to talk a little bit about me and the things that I do, as I said, My life over the years, I had to discover who and what I was. I was led to realize this by acknowledging that my life is a journey of developing the divine in me and everything around me, because my life was not an easy life. Born in Panama, raised as a Black Latina, coming to the United States at 13, being insecure, afraid, didn't know how to read the language, I had to connect to something, because everything around me was telling me, you are destined to be a failure. You're destined to be a failure in that you can't keep up in school because you're learning how to read English and you're in eighth grade. Your parents are, focusing on you being a success and not recognizing I come from a different culture. We come from a different culture, and for me to adjust teenage years, that was hard, very, very hard for me. High school was very hard for me. I had to go to high school 6 months later because I was always feeling like I was catching up. Then socially, being a Black Latina in America in the 60s, I was all into, feeling proud to be African. And my family was like, we are not African. We are Panamanian. We are here to get the best that America has to offer. And my parents did the best that they could, but in terms of the spiritual and the nurturing that I needed to let me know that I was special and that I would be a success, I didn't have it there. It was always, why are you so different? Why you got to be the problem child? Why is it that you can't be like your brother and your sister? They're passing, they're just going through school without even studying. What's wrong with you? So I just always felt that there was something wrong with me. And so when I recognized that I was special was when I got a first consultation telling me, you are special. You have a divine purpose. You came back on earth to do things that will affect change in the world. And so I took that as a key to my stepping stone to greatness. Everything that I've felt about myself was a myth and a lie, because I didn't have anyone really telling me, encouraging me on a daily basis that I was meant for greatness. But when I met my spiritual connection to God through the practice that I use, I was able to recognize, whoa, I am perfect. I am perfect in that God got my back, and that in anything that has ever happened to me, God has always been there. And so in my process of discovering who I am and who I'm still discovering is knowing that the divine is within me and everything around me. And so to live a life of really just openness and joy, and I love people and I love the world, and sometimes I trust people too quickly and too easily and all of that, that's just the way I am. And for me, some of the pain that I've suffered has been my greatest reward, in that I found out that there's nothing that can hurt me as long as I know that there is something bigger than me, that I can mentally clearly define that that's what I want and put the spiritual principles in place that align me when I fall out of grace and reconnect me to knowing that I am here for a divine purpose. Then the rest is gravy. The rest is just sharing everything that I learn on my path with everyone that I meet, and that's why I'm very passionate in the way that I speak, the way that I eat, the way that I dance, the way that I move. Very passionate in that I know that this life is a beautiful place, because there's always God. There's always the source. There's always a spirit bigger than you giving you little signs that the spirit is there. You know, there's, and if you're able to look at those little signs as little breadcrumbs that gives you, that leads you to the ultimate place, which is joy and peace, then you don't get hung up longer than, you know, you need to at any place that's going to make you feel that you're worthless, that you don't have any purpose, that you're disconnected to yourself because you don't have the things that everyone thinks that you should have, or you should not speak the way that everyone thinks you should speak. Today, I have spent 40 years in the practice of empowering people, of giving people hope, for giving people a place and a way and stepping stones towards understanding that your mind, your body, and your spirit is all connected to the Creator,
mm-hmm.
all connected to the divine in you, because you are part of the divine. You are God's arms and legs. You are co-creating the reality of this beautiful garden that we call life. So that's who I am. And the things that I do is, of course, to encourage everyone that any class or any workshop that you've taken with me, go out, use it, and empower others. Use everything that you've learned. If I've ever taught you how to pour libation, pour it, show others. If I've ever taught you meditation, how to breathe and how to manifest abundance by meditation, by just clearly stating it, then go ahead and do that for others than yourself. Everything that you have ever learned from me is my what gives me the greatest joy is to see it being repeated. I'm just so happy. So
yeah.
That's who I am and what I'm doing. So it's starting my Orisha birthday. My celebration for my ordination is the 26th of August, and after that I get like a little blueprint and I get my astrology chart done by Astro Orisha. And then after that we'll have my upcoming fall classes that we're going to be having. We're going to be having some classes for children as well as adults for empowerment. This year I'm going to really focus on empowering self-empowerment workshop, which is a seven-day empowerment for children as well as adults to overcome some of the miseducation of children and adult, and that grow up to be adults that are misinformed as to the power of their mind, their body, and their spirit. And so that we can go ahead and find intimate, loving relationships that will be nurturing, make you feel whole, will support you, will develop compassion, and so that you will be able to have self-acceptance.
Okay. Wow, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, okay, back to our show family. We have a question for you in the chat room. It says, after one decides to leave a sexual relationship that no longer serves her, what are some ways of properly disconnecting while protecting her spirit?
Very good question. Very, very, very good question. In an intimate relationship that is sexual, is that that's a romantic relationship? What was the question?
After one decides to leave a sexual relationship that no longer serves her,
very, very, very good question. The first thing to do is to give thanks. Be in a place of gratitude that you found the courage, the connection to spirit, to know that it was not serving your highest and best good. So you should have a celebration. That's the first thing that you do. And you can, the celebration is up to you. It could be with you, a glass of water, and a prayer. It could be you and two of your girlfriends. It could be you and God, whichever you decide. Have a celebration and acknowledgement that, you know, this is great. You know, and then the next thing you have to do, of course, is know that you are not the experience that you just left. That was just one of the many mistakes or choices or experiences that you needed to get to exactly where you are, which is in a place of awareness. So you have to just see it. Then you claim it. You just say, okay, it is over. I am done. And then you start the spiritual healing. And the spiritual healing is, allow yourself to not judge and beat up on yourself, but physically, there are cleansing baths that you can do to shift the emotional and the spiritual and the psychological energy that governs that, and that is an individual basis. I can't give you two cups of sugar, a glass of ice water, and two lemons. It's the individual, because each experience that you have is stimulated by some aspect of the Creator. It could be the energy of a lesson that comes from having you in a place of disconnection, to know that everything that you experience in that relationship was required. That's the Obatala aspect. If it's the energy of Yemonja that says, this is something that made you recognize that family is very important, or it could be an aspect of Oshun, that through this relationship you were able to find how creative you are or not, or that it stopped you from your creativity. Or it could be something of a wound. It could be an energy that tells you that at this point you need courage, determination to move forward, because the emotions are going to come up again. Or you could use something like Oshosi. You have to make sure that you have what is required before you claim that you want to be in another relationship. You have to hunt yourself first. You have to be very clear in your own understanding as to what it is that you just went through, what battle you went through, and you have to heal from it. Or you could use also the energy of Olokun, where the situation has something to do with a deep, deep, deep place of needing to know, and that's where you are, and so that you will get to know and to be clear as to what is the answer to the question that led you to that relationship. It could be an Olokun ceremony that needs to be done. And so you can go also to Shango. It could be something that it was something that at the moment you thought would be good for the way it looked, for your ego, for the part of you that had very little connection to God, that you were not listening to your second sense, that you were going on it with just, well, I need someone and it looks good. And so from those places, so that you don't judge yourself, healing comes from specific areas on that. So in a reading or in a consultation, you will be able to acknowledge which ceremony you have to do to bring that balance back into you spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally, because you are going to have to shift the energy from being in the relationship to shift it into being reconnected to having an intimate relationship with yourself and to your God self and to your good self. And so I can't give a carte blanche reply to that as to how do you do it. But for me, it would be you have to address your spirit in doing some type of ceremony. You have to claim it through your mind, which I just gave the information on how to do it, doing it mentally. And then you have to do it physically by knowing that the thing that you've been through, you have to change that energy because you do have part of that person's spirit and experiences in your body. And so a detox would be fabulous. This would be a good time to do a fast, and depends on how you want to do the fast. You can do a 3-day fast, you can do a 7-day fast, you can do a 21-day fast, and each one of the fasts you are stating to the universe why you are cleansing, what you're detoxing. You're detoxing spirit, mind, and body. And then you can do a cleansing to purify yourself, your body, your spirit, and your mind. That's the way that I would recommend to perhaps some stepping stones toward overcoming, beating up on yourself and feeling, oh, God, I should have never done that. The first thing to do is celebrate that you're not there. The second thing is to just claim and know, you know, become what it is that you want, what it is that you're thinking. You want better. You deserve better. You know, then claim that, you know, you're clear in your intentions that you want something that's going to support your spirit. So give yourself some props for not being there any longer because you recognize that the key word when you asked the question was that it was not for your highest and best good. And so give yourself credit for that, that you're looking out for your highest and best good, which is your highest and best God self.
Okay. Someone in the chat room said, great answer. She said, you more than answered the question. I asked, did you answer her question? She said, you more than answered her question. Then thank you very much. So that's great. Okay. Now, we went through the first two questions. The third question is, have you compromised your spiritual side for intimate pleasure?
Right.
Do you want to speak on that one?
Yes, yes, we can go to that one. And so that would be, have you spiritual, what is it?
Have you compromised
for intimate pleasure? What is intimate pleasure? Intimate is doing something, you know, for yourself. That's intimate. And the pleasure depends on if you're talking about food, if you're talking about romantically, it all has to do with intimacy, right? So have you compromised your spiritual side for intimate pleasure? You compromise yourself for intimate pleasure when you don't recognize that you're creating the drama in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Because to me, it's if you are compromising, meaning that you're settling, you're not coming, you're not into the me I see, right, of the intimacy. If you're not into the me I see, then why would you compromise it? Why would you do something that you know it's against the you that you know is within you? Because when you are intimate, and you are in a place of knowing that your body, mind, and spirit is connected to the divine, or knowing that this is where and who you are, is just walking a spiritual path, and when you fall off, you just jump back on. And, you know, you have to choose a relationship that is going to nurture your divine and higher self, as we said before. And so, compromise, then you will create a space for drama and constant repetition of past mistakes. Because sometimes when you feel that all your worth is drama, then you go and you create that drama. Because if you have to compromise, that means that at some point something is going to get cheated. And because compromising means that you're going to give something that you have to give versus you're giving something that you want to give. And so when you're compromising, that means that you're giving something up for something else. The fact that you're choosing that, compromising, and I'm just what my spirit is saying. Maybe I don't know if someone else can add to this. But to compromise your spiritual side, you can't compromise your spiritual side, because by compromising means that you're making a deal with God, and you can't it doesn't make sense to me that you can say, well, God, I'm going to do this, but then I'm going to do the other thing. I wish that we would have callers from other spiritual belief system or cultural belief systems to kind of add to this. But to me, not just to this, but to the entire conversation that we've been having for the past hour and a half, is to me, when you compromise, then you will create a space for drama, you know, and you keep repeating the same thing. You keep meeting the same people because you're compromising. You're not saying, you know what, this is clearly what I want. This is clearly what I require, what I deserve, what I expect, what is in place for me, what God is going to awaken in me that I can recognize in this other person. When you say that, then you don't have drama because those things are not of your intention. They are not of your reality. They are someone else's, some other form of life out there that someone else may need, because some people may need drama to move from one point to another. But if you keep repeating the same thing over and over, then you're not moving forward in the drama. The drama is not being beneficial to you. So when you compromise it, you're making a deal with the devil in that, and I don't believe in the devil per se, but you're making a deal with something that is not available. Because you can't say, well, I'm going to have this, you know, I'm only going to do X, Y, Z in a relationship. It's like you have a relationship. Let's take it not just in a romantic relationship. You have a friend, and you're the friend, or have an intimate relationship, your best friend, and you're very, very close, and something is going on in your life, and you say, well, I'm not going to tell them that because I know, you know, they're going to pass judgment on me. Well, that's not the deepest friendship that you have, because if you have someone that is your best friend, they would know and love you, know everything about you and still love you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to do that, you know? So that's what I'm saying. So you can't compromise on a friendship. So in a romantic one, if you're compromising, you're saying, well, God, I just want a little hookup, and then I'll get back to service. I'll get back to church. I'll get back to myself. The fact that you made that choice right there, it's a no brainer.
Yes.
You know, so the friends with benefits and that kind of thing, that has nothing to do with your spirit. You're just going with your body and you're saying, okay, the animal part of my brain is telling me that I need to satisfy my craving and I need to just use the part of my brain that is on the force of just that's on the level of just satisfying the lower part of myself and just go ahead and do it. Today I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to give God a vacation. Well, you can't do that and then be whole and be healed and be the best.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I understand that. And family, I would like to say again, our call-in number is 310-742-1887. And press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment for Sister Yaya Feeney. And family in the chat room, I see we have a lot of people in the chat room. I know this is an exciting topic, and you're just sitting back. It's a Sunday, probably in your pajamas by now, relaxing, trying not to think about going back to work on Monday, blocking that out. But why don't you join in the conversation, ask questions, you know, and talk. I'm sure some of you have feelings about everything that we're speaking on tonight. So just join right in and ask your questions. Okay, I want to, I think you touched on the fourth question, which is, what are some of the excuses we may use in engaging in intimacy with people who are not as spiritual as we are? You know,
okay.
I know sometimes you want to think that, well, they have a good heart, or they're able to support me financially, different things like that. That would be one of my excuses. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me piggyback up to something that you said. People may not want to go back to work. I think you need to be in a place of gratitude when you have someone that is giving you spending the energy affirming that you have the best job ever and that you are given the proper money for the proper work that is due. That's how you get through the work day. So I just needed to say that. If you are. I just had to do the sidebar on that one. There's so many people thinking I hate this job, and then you go in and you're fired, rather than I love this and I'm going to get my words. You have to affirm it with words. Thoughts and actions.
Before you answer that, someone in the chat room has a question. Do you want to take the question first?
Yes, give me the question.
Okay. In being in a monogamous relationship, how is intimacy affected between you and your mate on a spiritual level if you and a sister wife do not share the most positive energy between each other and the man is sharing intimacy between both of you?
Okay.
You want me to read it again?
Yes, I think I got the question.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great question. The thing about polygamy is that you each have a monogamous relationship with the man, the women. The woman has an intimate relationship that is monogamous with the man because her marriage to him is her marriage to him. And the other lady's marriage to him is a marriage to him. Now, if you're having challenges in the relationship with the other sister, it could be that the intimacy of the family unit needs to be healed. It means that there are things that are going on that is not fulfilling the needs of everyone concerned. And so if one person is not receiving it, then this is a time for looking into what is the purpose of the marriage. What is the purpose? What was the intention? What is the mission statement of that family? If the mission statement of the family is not clearly defined, this is a time where the family has to have a mission statement. And it's somewhere in that mission statement or marriage contract should be that you are supported and that you are given a space to allow you to really see yourself, to grow, to be loved, to be encouraged, to be valued, to be appreciated, to be respected, and to be allowed to feel whole. That's the question that needs to be had. It's not about the two women or the man. It's about the entire unit. How does the intimacy, where is it that there is no appreciation? Because intimacy, you're supposed to feel appreciated, nurtured, supported, that you have compassion, that you can accept others unconditionally. And accept yourself. So if someone is not getting it, then this is a time for not only a family meeting, but a family ritual, a family ceremony, a family investigation. This is when the outside extended family has to come in, sit down, and discuss, so who is unhappy and why, and work it out. It's just like you have a company, you have a business, and the employees that work in the mailroom are not happy. So the people upstairs are not getting their mail out. You can't just blame the mail system. You have to find out, so why is there a glitch in the mail going out? So you have a family meeting. You have a business meeting, and you discuss, who is disgruntled? Why is it? Okay, is it that you're getting too many long hours and you're not getting a proper pay? Is it that you have challenges at your family, that you come late every day? You have to look into it. So that's what I would have to say in terms of the polygamous relationship, is that each one of the women have an intimate relationship with the man, but you have an intimate relationship with the entire family. And somewhere there's an imbalance because that person's spirit, mind, and body is not being supported with the understanding that in the midst of all of this, as Astral Risha stated, that the base of her marriage success is the spiritual component, is to recognize and be grateful for the other person. Because when you are coming from a place of gratitude, you don't have any time for dissatisfaction and revenge and anger and that, because they don't live in the same house. When you're grateful for both women, then the man will sit down and say, okay, what is it that's going on here that you can't grow? And what is it that's going on that you can feel like you're grown, that you're growing as well? Because in a romantic relationship that's polygamous, everybody should be growing. Everybody should feel supported. Everybody should be filled that their intimate relationship is a respectful assignment from God, not just, okay, I'm doing this because I can do it. No, there has to be some type of a reason that you're having that. Does that make sense? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Okay, yes, I think Blog Talk is having a problem. It's raining, so who knows. But I apologize. I guess that would feed into what you do, what you just spoke on, into your cultural, the way you, your cultural consultant. That would, because I understand that you do, well, family understand that she, Sister Yaya Feeney, is a cultural consultant as well. So she is,
yeah.
She knows about, I'm sorry, go on.
No, go on, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about
that. Okay. That I was just saying that because of your awareness, you know, and the insight that you just gave, that I also wanted people to know that you were a cultural consultant as well.
Yes. And in that, in the cultural consulting, the advice that would probably have to be given to that family is what are the handed down beliefs that you have about what is a marriage or what is polygamy? That would be one of the key questions that needs to be brought to the question. That was a sidebar. That was a sidebar to the sidebar, because there's another sidebar that I was, and I'm not saying this just from reading, I was actually involved and married in polygamy. And so I know both sides, the joy and the pain, the happiness and the sadness, the spirituality and the lack of spirituality of it. So that's why I can speak from that perspective, as to give some, you know, some recommendations as to how to perhaps address it.
Okay, I'm sure a lot of people did not know that about you.
Oh, yes, I was married for 14 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. My children were raised in a polygamous household. And we still have several mothers, and we are still in touch and relationship, and the children are still close, though the marriage did not, after 14 years, it did not serve my highest and best good, and it was time for me to know another deeper side of my spiritual journey. And so, but the children and the some of the co-wives, and that we still are in touch with each other and visit and spend time together and that. So it's not, I'm not speaking this from a theory. I'm speaking this from up front.
Okay.
And yeah, my children have over 23 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Okay, to get to the other question, if you are engaged in an intimate relationship with people who are not as spiritual as you, I think that then just accept them for who they are and
mm-hmm.
give them the space that you and they need required to find wholeness and self-pleasure. No, self-pleasure is the next question. So I was saying that, you know, just give them, you know, the space that they need. If you feel
uh-huh.
that you are not a spiritually connected and, like you said, not spiritually yoked together, then
mm-hmm.
just give them the space that they need. So if it's a friend that you're having, then give them that space. They are who they are. You are not sent on earth to change them. They're going to have their own belief system, and you have to respect it. And if it's in a romantic relationship and you are not on the same spiritual level as the other person, well, the fact that you are engaging in intimacy with someone that is not as spiritual as you, and you consider spiritual as you, well, you are not as spiritual as he is or she is. Or she is, because y'all wouldn't be hooking up. To me, because because if you're making excuses, that means that you're compromising the concept that you're connected to God. So you're saying, okay, I got to do this, but, you know, I know the person, you know, means well and they got a good job and they look good. Well, that's not connected to spirit. That's not, and perhaps that is your intention. Perhaps that's what you ask universe for. But when you ask universe that you want an intimate relationship that you can intimately see you, then you will really see either you're shallow or you're very deep. Either the shallow end of the pool or in the deep end of the pool. And you make that decision. And it's okay because no one is passing judgment. Just as the other sister apologized to the man, you can, you know, look at yourself and say, you know, this is not working. Or this is working. It could work perfectly. If you and the person recognize that this is what it is, then your perhaps your connection to them, both of you decided this is what we want. This is our connection to spirit. And when we come together, we feel God and we say, ah, baby. Maybe that's the connection, at the, on that level, the connection to God. It is an intimate relationship.
Yes.
So I think that, does that answer the question?
Yes, yes. She logged off, but she said she was listening on, she'll still continue to listen online. So
okay.
If she loses the connection, she can always come back to the archive later and listen to it.
Okay.
The next question, do you believe self-pleasure is against your spiritual belief?
Self-pleasure, and we're saying this in food or we're saying this in romantic?
I guess either or. I say it sort of in food because I'm trying to lose weight, but some days I just eat everything in sight. So it's like a contradictory statement that I want to lose weight, but here I am eating everything in the world.
I don't know if it's against it. I don't know if it's if something is not feeding it, then it's not for it. So you can say it's against it, then. But because if you're over anything that you do in excess, is disaligning you with your divine grounding or divine who you are. If you're doing anything, if it's food, if it's sex, if it's pleasure, if it's whatever. If it's to the degree where everything has to be done with tolerance, with respect. You know, you can eat a bowl of ice cream, but you can't eat a bowl of ice cream every day because you're going to clog your arteries. And so it's the same thing where if you believe your self-pleasure is against your spiritual belief. It's self-pleasure on a sexual level. That's between your body and you. If you feel that one of the ways of stimulating your energy field is by having self-pleasuring moment to yourself, then that's, in my opinion, that's between you and your God. I don't think that there's anything for shame. I don't think there's anything unless you walk out or you put it on the internet. Oh, boy, last night I did X, Y, and Z. Tell me your opinion. But it's just like people who have to tell people what they do in the bedroom. It's up to you. You know, it's up to you. And if you want everybody in your bedroom on the wall looking through little peekholes, that's fine, too. It's up to you. But if you want to, everything has to be done with moderation.
Moderation, yes.
Yeah. So I don't think that self-pleasure sexually or food-wise or that, it has anything to do with what God thinks. Because God's opinion of you is just that you are the divine. Whatever decision you make to do, if you fall off the wagon today, God doesn't stop loving you or providing for you or stop you from breathing. Because that's the one thing that we know God loves us. It's not by words. It's not by saying. It's just that whenever you need something, whenever you desire or you require the assistance from the Creator, it is there. When you woke up this morning, that was God's love saying, you are. That's it. Just you are. The great I am is that I am God. I am here. I am now. I am good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if there's any, there may be dogmas that people have, but in terms of your spiritual belief, anything that you are going to do to give you pleasure, pleasure is one of the aspects of your life that gives you a sense of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure are things that make you feel good about yourself. And so if it's food or sex or any other thing, as long as you feel good about yourself when you're finished. So if you eat 10 bowls of ice cream and when you finish it, oh, my God, I feel horrible. I shouldn't have done that. Then that's disaligning you to the divine. But if you eat 10 bowls of ice cream and you know you're going to run a marathon tomorrow, then you should go on and eat up. Eat some for me and feel good about it. And if you're going to self-pleasure on a sexual level, if that makes you feel better the next day or the next moment, then it's your body. It's between you and your divine self. Remember, I don't think of God as being outside. God is within you. And just as the other caller said, that when the divine knows, when you wake up one morning and says, you know what, I don't feel like eating today. I think I don't feel like eating because my stomach is upset. That's the divine you saying, you know, you need a little fast. If all you do is drink water that day because you have an upset stomach, your stomach is saying there's something in you that's disaligning you from the divine self of getting up feeling joy when you land your feet on the floor. You should be feeling euphoria, bliss, just happiness and joy that you opened your eyes and the Creator remembered to allow you to breathe. But if somehow that tummy is feeling disconnected, then your body's telling you, you need to not beat up yourself because you ate the Doritos, or just go ahead and cleanse the Dorito toxins out of you. So it's not that deep. Because God is ever present, ever loving and ever knowing that everything that you do, you have, in the moment that you acknowledge that you want to do differently, you have the power to create a miracle. I'm just going and doing it. And shaping your beliefs as to what you think about your mind, your body, and your... The mind is a powerful thing, and it connects you to all of the things that you do. What you're going to eat, your mind tells you. The spirit warns you, but the mind is the place that tells you, okay, no, you can do this. You don't want to do that. So you create, that's the center of your creativity is your mind. And behind you think that the thing that is the impetus of the secret push or the real awakener is the spirit. The spirit tells you you want to do this. But your mind, then, but for that self-pleasure, I don't know if it's bad, because if it's between you and your body and it makes you feel connected to God, then it's fine. That's what I believe. So I don't know what the callers have or those that are on the on the internet are saying.
Okay, I don't have any comments, so I think we should probably move to the last question, and then we'll, you know, I wanted to speak a little bit about products and have you think about what's coming up next for you. Okay, the last question is it should be, are intimate films against your spiritual belief?
Well... I'm answering it for me. It should be our intimate films against.
Yeah.
Our intimate films against your spiritual beliefs. I don't know if you have a spiritual belief. What is a belief? A belief, is a belief something that really works for you, or is a dogma that you tell yourself? So that's why I was interested in having people from different beliefs systems call in. That would have made, you know, give me some food for thought. But in terms of, I've never even questioned something like that. So for me, it just seems that if it aligns you with, if seeing other people exchanging physically bring you to a place where you feel sexually aroused, then perhaps there is something that is missing in your own identity or intimacy of yourself, where the outside stimulation would mean so much that you would have to welcome it. That's just my question. And my question is a question to myself. If you are connected to you, and your partner, as perhaps this may be someone that doesn't have a partner, if you feel that it brings you to a place of feeling connected to the divine, then I don't know if a belief has the right to tell you that it's wrong. If you are connecting when you are watching this to something that makes you feel good about yourself, during and after watching the movie, and 2 hours, 10 days later, then that's your connection to the divine. The divine is a private, intimate relationship that you have with yourself. And if by doing that you feel whole and not shamed, culturally immoral or debased, then it's fine, because the relationship that you have with yourself is the most sacred, intimate relationship. And bringing a picture of other people doing that gives you a sense of grounding, then I don't see why it should be something that is against your belief. Your belief is about what you think is best for you. So I hope that answers the question.
Okay. I hope so. I hope it does. Okay.
You had asked that question. Someone had asked you on during the week to ask that question, or just was something that you just added?
No, because I have girls' night out sometimes, a girls' day out where I have a cookout and things like that. So we sit around my house and talk about different subjects and different topics, and this was one of the reasons why I brought this subject, you know, up for a discussion on your show.
And so what did they when you were discussing it, what did they say? Give me a couple of opinions as to what they felt.
Well, one of the things they were talking about was one of the ladies liked to watch the different porn, and you know, and another one of my friends said, you know, well, that's disgusting. I don't want to be intimate with my man while he's not excited by me. She didn't know whether he was going to be excited by her or was he getting excited because of the film that he was watching. And you know, it was like this big discussion, and we were saying that, well, is he as active when he's not watching as he is when he is watching? You know, and one of my best friends said that, you know, he seems to be more excited. Her friend seems to be more excited. It's how they start. They first cut the movie on, and then they start with the movie, and then he's ready, and they go for it. But my other girlfriend said that, you know, it's he's fine. They can go and go and go and go and go, but he doesn't come to completion until, you know, they watch the movie, or once he gets really into the movie.
Oh, well, that's a topic for a whole nother show, because
yeah,
intimacy is something that you're supposed to feel whole, nurtured, because the sexual part of it, that's just one small part of the whole, because intimacy is not about just sex. Intimacy is about you being supported and feeling whole and respected and happy and one with who you are and heard, and that you can trust. So that relationship there needs more than just questioning whether it's God. I thought you were talking about just one person. But if it's with a mate, then the thing with that is that I think that they would have to look into some other issues that's at hand that's not connected to the divine in them. So this is just a distraction as to some of the issues that perhaps they would want to address in their own intimacy. Because when you receive intimacy, when you receive it as a gratitude, it gives you a sense of worth. You know, it makes you feel valued, nurtured, supported, appreciated, you know? and that you are the only person in the world at that moment that is the important one. It gives you a
mm-hmm.
sense of wholeness. You know, so if it's having that kind of jumpy back and back, that relationship there has some question as to its spirit at the base of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Or some other kind of distraction that I think it needs deeper healing as to what is their intimacy. What is the because intimacy is supposed to allow you to grow in your awareness, you know, and unconditional acceptance of yourself, you know, and honor the relationship that you're in. And accept unconditionally, you know, the difference that other people have. But if it's going to affect you, then that's not about other people. That's about what it is that you require. So if she's feeling, you know, that she doesn't like that, then that's something that's a bigger question than intimacy here. That's a whole nother program. So that's what I would like to say on that. Yeah, that's a whole nother show.
So maybe we'll have to come up with the topic for that. Particularly, I know that you may have some suggestions or topics. I see every first Sunday of the month, we have a lot of callers, a lot of people listening in the chat room and online. Is there a topic that you want discussed or something you want to become more knowledgeable about, feel free to send an email to yeyefeeny@bellsouth.net. And that way, you know, you can get some of your questions answered and you can get some insight possibly from other people, because sometimes we think that, you know, our way is either right or wrong. And it doesn't have to be right or wrong. It could just be your way. So
yes,
please, send you a new topic. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, thinking out loud again.
Okay, let's hear it. Just already speaking out loud.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's right, because this is not about my show. This is Ask Yeyefeeny. I would like you to ask me anything that you think that I would not be, you know, that you would feel embarrassed to ask or whatever. I'm an open book. I'm an open book, so ask your questions.
Yeah, if you don't want to come on the air and say them, you can always type them in the chat room. And,
correct.
You know, that way, no one knows it's you, you know, or we never ask your name or anything when you call in. We never give out your whole phone number or anything like that, so, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But then I know some people think that some questions are really embarrassing, and they only will discuss it with their closest friends, or they don't discuss it at all. And that's the worst thing that you could do, is to just keep it to yourself, because you don't know how other people are going to feel. There could be 20,000 people who have that exact same question, and it could be answered, but no one wants to say it out loud or mention it because you don't know, or you're worried about what people think about you. You know.
And you don't have to put your name. You can call yourself Chicken Mama. Nobody will know who you are, you know. So perhaps everybody's just enjoying, because if there are that many people and they're just listening in, I guess they're
mm-hmm.
enjoying the conversation that's going, you know, going on. So
yes, it is that many people. It is quite a few people on that have called in. They haven't pressed the number one to ask a question, I'm sorry.
Are they talking amongst themselves?
No, in the chat room? No. They're just listening as well. It says that this is it's a wonderful topic, and someone said that is an exceptional concept. A belief should not be able to tell you, let me see, a belief should not be able to tell you that the relationship or concept you have with the divine is wrong. And she says, thank you very much. So, yeah, you know, smiley faces. It's really good. It says, thank you. It says, one lady says, I already emailed the topic that I want to know about. So I guess you will be getting an email. So I want to thank you very much for emailing the topic. So they are listening, and they are excited about what we're doing. We have just a little over 4 minutes. I see people just joining us. I thank you very much for joining in. You missed a lot and a lot of great conversation. You can always go back to the archive. Once the show is over, the archive will show up, and you can go back to the archive and listen in. But thank you for joining us, and we are on the first Sunday of every month from 5 till 7 p.m. Okay, Sister Yaya, you want to give some closing comments?
Yes, I would like to say, of course, if you're interested in any particular topic that you would like me to speak on, because I don't have a clue. During that month, I'm always involved with so many other things, I can't think of anything that perhaps someone would be interested in. Send me an email at yeyefini, yeyefini, @bellsouth.net, and ask me to speak on it or send it to put it on my Facebook. And I will be glad to address that. I feel very, very glad and happy today that we have so many people in the archives and supporting this conversation. I was hoping that we had some men, and that was what I had emailed some men who I have on my Facebook and friends that I have in my email. And some of them say, yes, we'll be on, but I don't know if there were any men on to speak on that subject. But anyway, we'll continue the way that God wants it, the way that Spirit wants it, the way that good wants it. And so, in closing, intimacy, when received with gratitude, can give a sense of love, self-worth, value, and appreciation, and an overall feeling of wholeness. And what it will lessen and even dissolve self-judgment, self-criticism, adherence to hand-down beliefs, fear, shame, pessimism, frustration, resentment of self and others when you're not in a relationship where you receive it with gratitude. And so in closing, I just hope that each and every one of you will go out there and state your truth to the universe in a way that it will come to you in relationships, personal relationships, as well as in intimate relationships, as well as in spiritual relationships. Know that when you make a compromise, you cannot effectively shift the energy to the God. And the way to find it, I find, is that in stillness, I find my true self. You know, when things come and go in your life, you stay connected to your true self. Nothing bothers you or distracts you from yourself. And so the suggestions that I would have is that find a place that every day you connect to your divine self. You can look in the mirror, or you can look, you can close your eyes. You can have a glass of water, which water is life. We are more connected to water than any other element. And you can just light a candle, because that is energy as well, because that is fire. And you have that. You sit with a glass of water and a candle, and you find a place that you just breathe and connect to the divine in you that speaks in your voice. The divine in you speaks in your own voice. And then when you awaken from that state of bliss, of knowing that you are divine, start looking at little signs around you that shows you that God heard you. And always start your day with a declaration, with an affirmation of the type of day that you want, the way that you want the day to come. Be very, very clear in all of the expressions that you have of your mind, your body, and your spirit. You know, so on this day, we have 1 minute left. Is know that intimacy is a sacred place and is yours for the asking. And when we acknowledge the need for it, we must balance our mind, our body, and our spirit. So go out there and create an intimate space with yourself, with your friends, with your mate, and with God, and have a great day, and know that intimacy means into me, I see.
Thank you very much, G.A. Feeney. And family, have a very blessed week, and thank you very much for joining us. We will see you on the first Sunday of September. Thank you. Be blessed. Nia Feeney,
yes.
Really enjoyed your show. Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
I will see
Thank
with you. You later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.